All right. So you're going to lead us off on the next question, which are there considerations that you think aren't getting enough attention?
I think the process itself is a debate. The DEP versus the experts in the region already or prior people that have a lot of history and knowledge of the area, of the sea, of the bay, that is the process of DEP and the permitting. It seems like to us, it goes into a secret room, DEP takes over the project and the permitting, and we don't hear anything, and that's very disconcerting. I think that the relevancy that I've heard, and I'm going to reference an email I got from the city manager today, because the class that they taught on aqua farming, there's a couple of answers that I wanted to make sure that the public here tonight and watching heard. But there's a gentleman by the name of Greg Wood, and he's the main DEP Division of Water Quality Management Bureau of Water, 25 years experience. He was at, and this is on the cityofbelfast.org website, because all of the classes are on there for aqua farming that they taught, and he spoke at the eighth class, so it's under the eighth class. And there are some answers here about the DEP and discharge. And I thought it was important to share because when I told my wife earlier before the meeting, she's like, you should tell people that because I didn't know that. And I rely on my wife. DEP absolutely looks at other discharges into Penobscot Bay, i.e. Bucksport, in determining what is safe when new permits are applied for. So the numbers expected in Bucksport do have an impact on what DEP will allow in Belfast. I did not know that. If I didn't know it, I figured I would share it. Number two, DEP makes its best effort to set discharge levels that are safe for local waters. And then we would say, what's safe mean, right? And algae and things like that. Having said they will monitor the impacts of what is permitted to make double sure they have set the discharge rates at the proper levels. In the Bucksport permit, and likely in the Belfast permit, not issued at this time, the project is designed to be built in phases over many years. They are only permitting the first phase now so they can check the results of their initial permit to see if discharge numbers need to be lowered for future phases. I did not know that. And the final thing he said, which is, or as Joe indicated, the gentleman said, was how do we know when they will monitor? And Joe said that the gentleman said, the company won't ever know when we're monitoring. We show up at all hours, day and night. They never know we're there. We monitor, we'll be monitoring. And so in terms of discharge, they will be looking at it. From the company's viewpoint, relevant, I guess, to your question, they have said that the particles going out will be cleaner than the particles drawn in. I don't know scientifically what that means, except it sounds like our bay has some levels of things in it today. And they are, when you were looking at 7.7 million gallons a day, that includes water drawn in as well as water from the aquifer. It's not all from the aquifer. It's in total. And, of course, it is recirculated. The relevance of that is, as I understand it, it's about 1% an hour. So over a 100-hour period, all of the water is refreshed. And the final relevant point that I don't know if everybody is aware of, but early on they indicated to me that the reason they hadn't picked the food, I was at that meeting, was a year from now, 2 years from now, they would not know if they had a better product available, and they did not want to announce a food that they were picking in 2018 when they go into production in 2020 if something better, and I'm going to use the word better in an organic environmental way because that seemed to be the question, was available. And it would seem to me that that is their intent. So those are relevant to me right now, and I'm going to pass the microphone.
Thank you. So, Kathleen, from your perspective, what are the considerations that you don't think are getting enough attention?
Again, I would like to take a closer look at the water quality issues. Actually, if you could turn the slides on again, I just want to mention a citizen-driven effort that, do I have the right one? Yes. I am an advisor for a group called MCOA, the Maine Coastal Observing Alliance. It's a grassroots organization that started in 2014 when several community groups got together because they were concerned about water quality. And they wanted to bring their standards up so that all of these groups were using the same methods, the same quality control that we use in our scientific research. And these are the... I don't know if I can do two things at once. These are the things that MCOA measures. They have three trained technicians that do the actual sampling, but it's a volunteer network that takes them out in boats and assists the technician.
Go to the next slide.
I think so. Does this not work? No. So the green dots are all of the current MCOA sites. As you can see, there's pretty good coverage up and down the coast. And the red dot is the site here. So this is something I want you all to think about, and I'm going to say a little bit more about this on the last question. But I believe we definitely need more monitoring. And we need to look into where that 0.17 milligram per liter number came from. It came from DEP. And I will say that I have worked with a DEP marine unit, and they are good people, and they do a good job. And I've been out sampling at the same time as they've been sampling in Casco Bay. I have knowledge of them shutting down operations that were not meeting their requirements. And that was one of the another concern is what do we do if the nutrient levels are too high? And again, I'll get more into that in the last question, but I don't think it's a situation where we can't do anything. If that happens, then we mitigate it. But I will say for DEP, Marine Unit, that they are doing a good job, and they're currently developing standards for estuarine and coastal waters, which we have not had. All of our DEP standards have been for fresh waters, and DMR has handled salt water, but DMR pretty much only tests for bacteria because that's what they're concerned about, and that's what shuts down the clam and shellfish harvesting. So this is kind of over the last decade or so, the DEP has taken over the other water quality issues. I am good, and I will cede my 1 minute to one of the gentlemen on my left or right.
Okay, do you want to hold on to the 10 seconds, or would you like to pass that as well?
I'll pass the 10 seconds.
All right, Andrew, from your perspective, what are some of the considerations that people aren't necessarily paying enough attention to?
Okay.
Could you hold the microphone closer to your
mouth? I can. Yes, I can. Thank you. Several things. Kathleen has already touched on one, and that is the food, the fish feed. Composition and the way it is actually circulated through the plant and through the processing, the wastewater treatment processing before being discharged is a real concern to me. I know that Nordic has proposed using a 0.4 micron filter, which is smaller than a human hair, on their effluent as it is discharged into the bay. But unfortunately, bacteria and viruses are actually smaller than 0.4 microns. So not all viruses or bacteria will necessarily be captured before that effluent is discharged to the bay if they happen to be present as part of the environment in which these fish are grown. So that's a concern to me. I would like to see that dealt with. The effect of this discharge plume of 7.6 million gallons a day, which is the equivalent of a column of water 180 feet high and about 35 feet wide. So think of it as a very large tank that's being put into the bay every day. The pattern of the tidal interactions and the currents in that portion of the bay, in my opinion, are not adequately studied or presented in the permit application that Nordic has submitted. because they're using data that was really taken from sampling points up near Searsport. And unfortunately, in this part of the bay, those of you who live here know this, we have Islesboro, which extends all the way up almost to the end of Northport. And it actually separates the tidal action in this part of the bay. And the tides here in our bay have been characterized as very symmetrical, which simply means that they rise and fall at a very steady rate and at a very steady volume. But unfortunately, not all the water goes anywhere. It will sit there, and even by Nordic's own estimates and by, from their consultants, we've learned that the discharge they put out on day one will probably stay in that portion of the bay to the west of Islesboro and the east of the shore, right there off of Bayside and Northport.
Got a map behind you.
For 14 days. So what you'll see is, high tech. I don't know if I get the right.
I can reach it if you can.
All right, so here's Belfast. The little river is down here. The plant's going to be right about there. They're going to put their effluent somewhere around here. We're not quite sure where because the pipeline length keeps changing each time they submit the application. And the plume is going to circulate right around in here and eventually come down this way and then make its way down the entire bay and out into the Gulf of Maine. But it's going to take 14 days to do that. So there will be a standing plume of water outside Northport and Bayside continuously. And we don't really know what else is going to be in there. The permit application only looks at and only controls for five parameters. Total suspended solids, biological oxygen demand, which is a measure of how much the receiving waters are going to consume, if you will, of the material that's being discharged. Total phosphorus, total nitrogen. Kathleen's already talked about the importance of nitrogen. And ammonia. We need to know a lot more about what's in that effluent than just those five parameters.
Okay, thank you. And you can hold on to the microphone once again.